You guys are awesome, and we love you. And I'm so thankful that you're here. There's a lot of places you could be, a lot of things you could be doing, but I'm really grateful that we have this time together and that we can link up and step aside. This is an important thing to keep in mind. It is crucial, especially in this crazy world we're living in, especially right now, to regularly practice taking a knee and getting quiet and putting things in our ears and putting things in front of our eyes that, let me say this, put something good in our spirits, put something good in our hearts that lift our spirits, that make us feel refreshed versus weighed down. I'm going to say it from personal experience. Endless scrolling on social media is going to leave us more agitated, more feeling deflated, feeling less about ourselves. Unless you've got that thing like I do and trim back to only the jokes and the fun family pictures. But let's talk about something for a minute. That there's a reason why most of us have many times in our life come out of a church setting and felt no better, and in a lot of cases worse than when we went in. It's because a lot of what we heard was opinion, and a lot of what we heard was political things, and a lot of what we heard was ideas and theories, and it was a church setting, you know, so it was somewhat wholesome. But what we heard did not, I'm going to use this word again, feed our hearts. Jesus said, quoting the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 8, he said, man shall not live by bread only. That's natural things. He said, but man shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now take away the churchology out of that. Think about what he's saying. We enjoy a certain lifestyle, and that's fed internally. Don't just think natural lifestyle, you know, four-car garage, things like that. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. I want you to think. That's a Wayback Machine reference. I want you to think your lifestyle internally. I want you to think about your lifestyle in your own mind. And even more than that, I want you to think your lifestyle inside your own soul. What's it like in there? And he said, man shall live. When he says live, he's talking about a certain kind of way of life that he himself enjoyed. He said, I came that you might, John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We've heard that. Many of us have at least. And we're like, yay, amen. What does it mean? I have no idea. He said, I want to come give you life like I live it. I want to come give you life like my Father lives it. What's that like? We sit in heaven and eat grapes on a cloud while an angel strums a harp? No, I want to give you the lifestyle, how we live it every day. That's how he wants us to live. Well, let's find out more about that way of life. Let's find out how that is. So we're going to talk tonight, or in this training session, we're going to talk about what is really the root of mental health. What's the condition of our hearts? And I don't mean condition of our hearts where we start playing some kind of really somber piano music and you got to introspect on how guilty you feel, and we come up to the altar and pray and you ask for forgiveness from God and you leave feeling temporarily better and it lasts about 3 hours, maybe a day. No, I mean the health of our inner self, the health of our inner man. And how about this? The health of our soul. The health of our soul. What's the weather like in there? Are we excited? Are we glad? Do we have joy? Or are we agitated? And let's talk more about this too. Are we just confronted with anxiety at every turn? Are things trying to stress us out? Are we worried about things? Is there a lot of worry? And even Christians, I mean, I'm particularly talking to believers, but you know, for we have plenty of folk who are very, very positive and supportive of our cause, who haven't made necessarily a commitment of faith yet, but they very much love us and like us and want to be around what we're doing with, you know, how we do things with Misfit Toy Society. That's fine. So we're talking to our people. If you're watching and you're listening, you're our people. You are, for the record, on the record, you are our people. You're our kind, man, and this is for you as much as anybody else. And so we have this thought that, like, well, you know, everybody has anxiety and stress and worry, and you just can't help it, and that's just the way it is. That is not true. Let me let that sink in. That is not true. I'm going to take us there later on this evening, but Jesus said this to his crew before he was leaving. And these were his closest friends, and these were his people. He said this. He said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Then he said this, "Not as the world giveth do I give unto you." You know one great thing about that meaning and what he meant by "not as the world gives do I give unto you"? It's not subject to the world's rules. It's not subject to how we feel. It's not subject to who's in office. It's not subject to the price of bread. It's not subject to gas prices. It's not subject to taxes, social events, or anything else. His peace is stable. And it's reliable. And he gave it to us. Now, two things become quickly apparent is when we start talking about God's plan for mental health. God's plan for health in our soul. Is that you don't have to struggle to get something that he has already given you. Also with that, like I referenced about, you know, hearing things in church that were just, you know, opinions and theories and what Bible school taught and what that denomination taught. And it wasn't necessarily scriptural in any way, or it was an opinion based on scripture, but it wasn't the truth. It didn't feed us. It didn't put something, it wasn't what God was saying. It wasn't what God directly said in his written copy of his covenant. Part of that is we have had people trying to teach us who were ignorant of their covenant with God. And I don't mean ignorant as in an insult. They were unaware of what they have. They were unaware, or in many cases still are, unaware of what they have. The book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 12 references this, that we were strangers to our covenants, to the covenants of promise. Well, it goes on to say in that same chapter that now by believing on Jesus, by going all in all the time with God and making Jesus our boss and best friend, that we're now in the same covenant. We're in a new covenant. We're in a new covenant. And that we're no longer strangers to it. Well, there's still a lot of believers who are actually strangers. It's foreign to them. It's a foreign concept to them. A lot of times they'll even tell you, try to tell you how wrong you are. But this is sworn in blood, what God has given us. So let's jump right in and let's find out God's plan for our mental health. And I mean, beyond mental health, God's plan for our souls. Man, isn't that good? And doesn't just saying it sound like, oh yeah, that's what the doctor ordered. I need some relief in my soul. Well, good. I'm glad because you came to the right place tonight. I want you to open up your Takarta Bible app, or open up your hard copy Bible, and I want you to look over in the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm, chapter 1. Now, I have a favorite translation of this verse 1, and that's the Passion Translation. But I'm not going to read it to you in the King James, because it just sets a tone for what we're doing tonight. And tonight is really, we're not even going to try to go, you know, in depth. We're going to just introduce it. I just want you to get acquainted. I sense that your Heavenly Father and best friend just wants you to be introduced and get acquainted with what He's already given you that you just may not have been aware of, or this will refresh your mind and go, oh man, I forgot. I have this. This is mine. Amen. And hear it from the jump tonight. Hear it from the start. He loves you. Your best friend loves you and is very eager and serious about the things that He's given you, His power causing to happen in your life. Amen. All right. Psalms, the 23rd chapter and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. That indicates there's someone watching over your welfare and well-being. Isn't that marvelous? You have someone watching over you. He's not just any someone, He's the Lord. I'm going to quote the Passion Translation, I can't help it. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd." This Hebrew word shepherd implies best friend, and it also implies shepherd. Well, think about it. Who's the best friend those sheep have? Their shepherd. Who's our best friend? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and our Heavenly Father and His Spirit dwelling in us. Isn't that wonderful, man? I'm so excited. And he says, well, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So no longer lacking and struggling and having hardship financially. That's part of just having Him being our Lord and Shepherd. It's a benefit. It comes with it. Well, don't leave it off. Don't leave your benefits on the table. Get you some of these benefits. Get you a big old heaping bowl full of these benefits of some no longer wanting anything. Then He says this, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep can lie down and be safe from the fear of attack. And safe from the fear of being ravaged by wolves. Because the shepherd's watching over them. The shepherd's keeping guard. And He says this, He leads me beside the still waters. When you're craving and you have thirst, He leads you. He shows you right where to drink. Now don't go over there to that fast water. You could get sucked away and drown. No. Come over here to this still, peaceful water. Come on over right here and take a deep, refreshing drink to your heart's content. Yeah. And He says, He restoreth my soul. Restore. What does that mean? Puts it back to original working order. Removes all the bugs and malfunctions. And He helps my soul be like it's supposed to be. Then He says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I'm going to reference what we've talked about in righteousness, about righteousness in the near past. He leads me in the paths of enjoying best friendship with Him for His name's sake. And then in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why would you fear evil? Because you're all alone in the valley of the shadow of death. But He said, I will fear no evil. Now notice, not just most evil. Or, you know, some days some evil and some days not, you know. He said, I will fear no evil. This wasn't just accidental. This was a decision. I will fear. You see what he's doing? He said, I'm deciding I'm not fearing anything. Well, why could He make that decision? You can't just decide to not fear. You got to have a reason. And He says this, because you're with me. Your best friend's with you. I can go to sleep and take a nap, and drink refreshing water, and lie down on fresh grass, and enjoy my best friend time with you, and my mind and my soul and my emotions are all restored to factory settings, because you're with me. And your weapons, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm comforted. Man, do you have any use for some comfort? Do you have any use to no longer fear? Listen, fear has torment, according to 1 John chapter 4. Fear is toxic. And fear will absolutely wreak havoc on your soul and body. I wonder how much of the health epidemic going on, not just with the pandemic, but also other health problems, are fear related. I heard a man say this, that the Lord spoke to him. This is one of my elders in the faith, and I heard him say this directly. He said that God spoke to him one day, and he said, "Son, what's worse than cancer of the brain?" And he's like, "Oh, I think that's pretty much the worst. I can't think of any." He said, "I don't know, sir." And he said, and the Lord spoke again to him, now, to his heart, not out here, not audibly. And he said, "Cancer on the mind is worse." I've read and seen where medical doctors have said, and these aren't just, you know, fly-by-night medical doctors. I mean, healthcare professionals who have said that anxiety and stress and worry has killed more people, which are all what? Fear-related, have killed more people than any other disease combined. Amen. That's not an amen as a statement of like, I'm celebrating that. It means so be it. That's the truth. So, but look at these concepts that he brings up just in these first four verses. Rest and provision. That's kind of an archaic word. We mean provision, supply, being taken care of in both financially and in needs. There's also companionship. He's with you. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. God's with you. And if you've heard us talk ever any length of time about these things, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, quoting the Old Testament, says, "He hath said," he talking about God, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." It'll never happen. He's with you 24/7 for eternity. Willingly, he wanted to. He joined himself to you voluntarily and will never be apart from you. Ooh, isn't that wonderful, man? I tell you what. I like what David said in Psalm 73. He said, "You're all I have in heaven." And he said, "And on earth, I desire nothing more than I desire you." He said, you guide me by my right hand throughout my life, never letting me go. And then after I'm done here, you receive me into glory. Can you hear what he's talking? He's talking about his best friend. He's talking about his shepherd and best friend, and that he stuck with him, and David stuck with him by choice. He said, I decide I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil thing happening to me. I won't fear someone attacking me. I won't fear someone plaguing me. I won't fear some financial woe or hardship or crisis, because you're with me and you're my shepherd, and I do not lack. I do not want. The Passion Translation says, "I always have more than enough." This isn't just nice prose or nice scriptures to hear. This is something that is covenanted to you and I in God's blood, in his son Jesus. Which means he swore it. It's permanent. So if this is waiting for us and this is given to us, why aren't so many enjoying it? Well, number one, they're unaware that this is actually a covenant. This is actually something given to you and I. And it's given by promise. That's from Galatians 3. God gave it to us by a promise. He let us know that he'd given it to us by something that he said to us. Well, something given must be received. Something given must be enjoyed. It has to be taken because, listen, God's not going to take away your free will to accept and enjoy something. Okay. And that means these are given, and now you and I have a, I'm going to say this in the most liberating way possible. You and I now have the privilege of accepting and enjoying it. That's good. I've heard it said like this, well, God's given it, but it's up to you now. Like, oh man, spare me. Come on. That makes it sound like such a labor and such a work. I mean, there's a little bit of effort in it, but so there's effort in ripping open wrapped presents on Sunday, on Christmas morning. You know what I mean? There's effort in cutting your birthday cake, and there's effort in lacing up them new roller skates you got for, you know, your birthday, and there's effort in going to get corn dogs, but num num, they're good corn dogs. Listen, don't think effort as in labor. Think effort as in enjoy. Amen. So, rest and provision and companionship. And then lastly, a restored soul. Your soul and the condition of it is extremely important to God. These aren't after effects. This isn't like, well, you're going to heaven and, you know, you just got to make it, you know, through best you can. And if your head, you know, if your mind and emotions fall apart, well, that's just, you know, the way it goes sometimes. No. God's way of living and his lifestyle has been given to you and I, and it affects every level of our life. He wouldn't say, he restoreth my soul if A, our souls didn't need restoring from time to time, and B, if it wasn't really given to us. It is given to us. Psalms, the 25th chapter, says this, what man is he that feareth the Lord? This is verse 12. Him shall, and when I say feareth the Lord, don't think something like fear of snakes or fear of sharks. I want you to think about this. Has enormous respect for, has made a decision that God gets all of his awe and respect. Oh, sure. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that I think are great and very talented, but there's one, and I won't say his name, who I think is the best. He gets my most respect. There's a lot of cornerbacks I've seen play the game, you know, people who cover wide receivers, but there's one that I think is the absolute best, and he gets, this brother gets all my respect for that position. Probably the best that ever played the game. But can you see how I'm talking about him? Respect and almost a sense of reverence. How about God? How about we decide you get all my respect? You get all my awe and wonder. I'm your biggest fan, and you are number one in my life. And what you say is number one in my life. You're, what comes out of your mouth, we're still talking to God about respectful things and fearing him with all of our heart. What you say out of your mouth settles it for me. That's the fear of God. He's the big man. He's, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. He, his word is final. His opinion matters the most to you. And when everybody else is saying X, Y, and Z, but God says A, B, and C, it's A, B, and C. I don't care who doesn't like it. That's the fear of God. He's the best. He's the biggest, and he gets, he carries the most weight. He's, I like that, Lord. Thank you. I just heard this in my heart. He carries the most juice. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. All right. Well, he goes on to say this in verse 13 of Psalms 25. It says, his soul shall dwell at ease. Let those 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, excuse me, six words. Let those six words really sink in. His soul shall dwell at ease. Why does that matter? And we've talked about this. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. Psalm 23:1, the Passion Translation. Well, he said, what man is he that, let me say it like this, that is deeply reverent, deeply respectful, by decision. It's not automatic and it's not accidental. But by a decision, I deeply and most respect the Lord, my best friend. The very next thing he says, his soul shall dwell at ease. Your best friend, it is a high priority that your soul is at ease. Now, at ease from what? At ease from stress, from care, and from worry? At ease from anxiety? At ease from fear? At ease from pressure? Well, that's impossible. Everybody's going to have that. No, it isn't. He just said, his soul shall dwell at ease. It's God's perfect will for you to be worry-free, carefree, and anxiety-free in your whole life. That's part of he came that we might have life, life like he lives it. Jesus is not stressed out. We're to live here like he lives there. He promised us, in the book of Deuteronomy, days of heaven on earth. Oh, sure, we're not in denial of the problems at hand. We just have solutions for them. Now, hear that again. We're not in denial of the problems that are at hand. We just have solutions for them from our blood covenant that we are in with our best friend, God. Amen. Listen, by being best friends with him, we have provision with him. We have his companionship. We have rest. And I don't just mean rest in our bodies, even though there are scriptures that promise us that we have sleep from God. But we also have a restored soul. We also have ease in our soul. You know, the first four letters of the word restored is rest. Rest. Part of having our soul restored is to put it back at ease and at rest from care and from worry and from stress. Isn't that good? Man, God is so good. I'm excited about this. Thank God. Listen, the well-being and condition of our soul is extremely important to God. Now, let's go over to that scripture I referenced earlier. Let's go over to the book of John, chapter 14. I want you to see these words come from the Master's lips, our elder brother and best friend. Listen, he said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he is the Word made flesh. He is what God has said and expressed, come alive. Amen. And he says this in John 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. You know what he's saying here? The same tranquility in my soul, the same ease that I have in my soul. Because the word peace in the book, and I said, almost said the book of Hebrews, in the Hebrew language is phenomenal. It means health, welfare, well-being, prosperity, wholeness, not incomplete, whole, full. It means everything you need. Nothing missing that you do need. It also, glory to God, has a strong definition of friendship. What kind of friendship? Hey, how you doing? Of covenant friendship. Of companionship. You know and are at ease that you are not alone or cut off from God, and that he's with you, and that he's active in your life. I don't want a passenger from God. I want an active participant from God. You know what I mean? I don't want him just to be some passive passenger, just, you know, feet kicked up, never helps with anything. I want him to be an active participant in my life, where he's watching over and he's already taken steps to provide. And when things come up, he's not caught off guard, and he's at ease about it. He said, hey, I'm not nervous. Everything's fine. And it's comforting. And that's what I want. And that's what peace also means. So it's not just peace and we're shutting out the world and we're in our, you know, our cloistered, you know, commune and ignoring the outside world. No, no, no. We're right in the middle of it. Did you see that in Psalm 23, your shepherd and you having more than enough and laying down and resting in the green grass and drinking the still waters and enjoying best friends with him and being best friends with him and having your soul restored and having his companionship is right in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. That means as we pass through this life and in this crazy world that's fallen apart, and don't be surprised that it's fallen apart, it's supposed to. It has been for a while. We're just seeing more of it. But we pass through it resting. Green grass, still waters, soul restored. I fear no evil, for he's with me. Right in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. Right in the middle of it. It sounds to me like God provides days of heaven on earth and absolute paradise on earth. Right in the middle of problems. Right in the middle of stress. He's got solutions. Right in the middle of all this, God provides. And he provides an atmosphere and a life like he lives it. I came that you might have life and have more abundantly. Oh, I like what the fifth chapter of 1 John says in the epistle of 1 John. It says, if he that has the Son, which means male or female, he that has the Son has the life. The life. So not just a life, he has the life. If you've made Jesus your boss and your Lord and your best friend, and you've accepted his hand of friendship and you've gone all in with him, you possess the life. Well, what life is that, Brother Duke? That's the life like he lives it. It's yours now. You're not struggling to get something you don't have. You are learning about something that you do have. I just have a witness from the Holy Spirit in my heart, meaning I have a signal that we need to say this out loud together. Say this with me. I have the life. I live this life that Jesus gave me. Say this with me. I have it. Right now. And say this, I've had it all along. Amen. Well, he goes on to say this, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Ooh. That means we don't get it through their means. We don't keep it through their ways. We know from the book of Romans that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It means God never changes his mind when he gives something. This peace is as much ours now as it was the day he said this. And then he goes on to say this. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice what he didn't say. Try not to let your heart be troubled now. I know you're going to be sometimes, but, you know, just try. No, he said, let not. And here's the kicker. If we're stressed and we're full of anxiety and we're full of worry, we have been tricked into allowing it. Now, that may not make you excited, but it's meant to give you relief. We've allowed it. So if we can let not our heart be troubled, what else is true here? We can let it be troubled. Satan uses just heinous pressure and heinous anxiety and mental torment to get us to succumb to it and say, yeah, I get, oh man, I'm so stressed out. When he says right here, with his peace, we can let not our heart be troubled. We can let not our, neither let it be afraid. We cannot allow it. We can decide to not permit it. That's good news. You know what? We said this many times before, but man, it is so good and it is so pertinent. This is restoring to you your awareness that you have a say-so in your outcome. These things can't just be forced upon you. They feel like they have been because you're being tricked, manipulated, deceived by pressure and the feelings. But he says the good news that you can let not your heart be troubled. I can sense it in my own heart that you're feeling it too in your heart. Or becoming, better than saying feel, let's be more accurate. You're becoming aware of it. Wait, I have a say-so in this. I have a right to say no to it. You absolutely do. You absolutely do. Now, let's go over and look how to put this to work in our life. Let's look at tactics. Let's look at tactics, techniques, and procedures. Let's look at some TTPs here. Let's look at some stuff we can put into practice. And I want you to know this. It's extremely simple and highly effective. In fact, it's 100% effective. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says this, casting all your care upon him. Him who? Him God. For he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him. As I was praying and getting ready today, I was thinking about this, and I believe the Lord put it in my heart, in my mind. Retail environment. We got the holidays coming up in just a few months. A few weeks, actually. And you're dealing with a customer service representative or on the phone or in person, and you're like, hey, I need some help with this. And they're looking at it and going, yeah, wow, I got to get my manager. I've got to kick this problem upstairs, as it were. I've got to delegate this to someone more qualified than me. Hey, no problem. It exceeds their authority. He says, cast all your care upon him. Now, some people will try to make you think that if you don't carry care and worry and be stressed out and anxiety, you're being irresponsible. We're not denying it, that it exists. We are by choice and by our God-given authority deciding to put all the care and all the stress that we possess and all the worry into the hands of the most qualified being to handle it. Spoiler alert, it's not you and me. It's him. And not only that, we're not bothering him with it. I don't want to bother the Lord with my problems. He asked for it. He said, cast all of it on him through the mouth of his messenger. He said, cast it all upon him. So stop with the false humility, which is actually really pride in disguise, and give him everything. Well, how do I do that? You decide to. You make a decision. Sir, I decide that I cast all my care over on you. So what's that mean now? I decide, I believe that a transfer has occurred and he now has it and I don't. I've signed it over to him in a manner of speaking and he's taken full possession of it. Can you just hear him saying it to you through this verse? Hey, I got it now. Thank you. Well, why couldn't he have it before? They were my problems. They were my cares. They were my worries. It was my anxiety. He couldn't take it. It's mine. He's not a thief. He's not a bully. But I can delegate it to him. I can cast it. I can throw and roll it over on him. And now he's got it. So what are we to believe? Well, now I'm trusting that he has it and that he's handling it. Well, look at the rest of the verse. It gives you complete confidence to know he'll handle it. It says, look, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I like what the Amplified Classic says. It says it like this. He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. This same book, 1 Peter, over in the second and the third chapter, it says that his eyes are upon the righteous. His eyes are focused. We are in his sight as his best friends. And it says, in his ear is open or watchful to our prayers. You never startle him. You never catch him off guard. You say, sir, yes. Oh, you're right. Wow. You never leave me nor forsake me. You're right there. Yeah, what you need? Sir, I'm stressed out about this. He says, oh, I can help you. I decide to give this whole problem and the care to you. I mean, obviously, there may be steps I need to take, but the care and the worry and the anxiety of it, I'm giving it over to you. He goes, great. Now I can help you. Why couldn't he before? I hadn't given him access. The problem was still in my hands. God can't do anything about the problem until the problem is given to him. I can't come over to your house and come in for tacos until you open the door for me to come in to eat tacos. Otherwise, technically, I'm trespassing. It's that simple. He can't handle my problem until I give him the problem. He can't handle my worrying and anxiety and concern until I give it to him. But once it's in his hands, he said, and he careth for you. Can you hear what he's saying? He takes care of it for you. I put it in his hands. And then this is crucial. I don't take it back. What do you mean take it back? It's going to try to come back to your mind. Let's not be naive and think it's not. But you can arrest yourself and think and decide and tell your mind, hey, no, no, nope, nope, no, no. like your mind's a disobedient puppy dog. No, 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 no. I gave that to the Lord. I don't have it. He's got it, and he's handling it. Amen. I want you to see this. He said, casting all your care. Again, the Amplified Classic breaks that down into all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns. All of it. You're not impressing him by trying to carry the worries and burdens on your own. In fact, you're making his heart sad. You don't have the ability within yourself on your own to carry these things. we as human beings were not meant to have stress. We were meant to get rid of it. We were meant to delegate it. And that's all you're doing. Listen, if my best friend is a surgeon and I've never even got beyond like high school health class, maybe a little bit of basic life-saving course and CPR, I'm not going to be the one that jumps in and tries to handle open-heart surgery. This is a world-class surgeon, board-certified and licensed. I may end up killing the person. He'll end up saving their life and making them good as new, if not better. You're not being irresponsible. You are giving the problem to the most qualified problem solver that you're in blood covenant with and happens to be your best friend. Who has said, on paper, in his covenant, and sworn in the blood of his son Jesus, our best friend, he wants all of it. Give it all to me. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, it takes a little practice, but you can start right now and it will be noticeably better immediately. And when I say take practice, I don't want that to discourage you. I mean that you just continue to do this through the rest of your life. You never get to a place where you just gonna automatically got it made with this. It's still going to take practice, as in you're still going to have to implement it, use it, act on it, you know, put it to work. But it just works, man. You're letting God be involved in your life. Listen, we don't need to fix or diagnose or treat or cope with stress. We need to get rid of it. We get rid of it and put it in the Lord's hands. And when he's got it, we no longer have it. You can be surrounded by the appearance of the very things that are giving you worry and anxiety and stress, but yet know in your heart that you have transferred all the care over into his hands, and that he's got it, and that by his blood covenant promise to you as his best friend, he's handling it. And surrounded by the yapping jaws of stress and defeat and just terror, you can close your eyes and say, thank you, sir. I'm so thankful, and I'm so glad that you're handling this for me. Isn't that marvelous? Thanks, sir. I'm so glad that you're handling. I'm so thankful that you're handling this. And I call it handled. You've handled it. And I'm excited about it. Right? Well, it's still trying to look you in the face and intimidate you. God's handled you, and God's handled you, and God's handled you. You're handled. Remember, we said it already, but I want to reiterate it and make sure you hear it. Man, we're not even through two-thirds of this yet, and we only got 10 minutes left. God cannot do anything about our cares until we give them to him. They're ours. They're mine. And as long as I have them, he doesn't. But when I decide to cast it over on him and say it, Lord, I cast these cares, all of it, over on you. He's now got it, and he's caring for me, and he's caring for you. Amen. He tells us exactly what to do and the step to take to decide to turn them over to him. Well, what comes next? The peace of God. The peace is allowed to go to work. Peace is allowed to go to work. Listen. I was reading this scripture one time in Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, verse 1, I can quote it to you. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even as such are of a clean heart. And I was reading that one time, and I heard this from the Lord in my heart. He said, even as such who are of a carefree heart. I went, oh. He said, I'm allowed to be good to those that have turned their cares over to me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can you see the principle? He's waiting to be good. He wants to be good. And he's provided to be good. But I've got stuff blocking it. In fact, worry is really treating God like he's a liar. It's treating him like he doesn't want to be a shepherd. It's treating him like he's going to fail at being a shepherd. I'm stressing out about an outcome that's negative. That's not what my shepherd swore to me in his own blood. That's not what your shepherd swore to you in his own blood. Let's treat him like he's honest. All right. I turn my problems over to you, and thank you, you're handling it for me. Why? Do you feel something? No, he told me. I can treat it like it's true. I can act like it's true. Amen. Listen, we cannot get our confidence in God to work and at the same time be holding on to worry. Now listen, I'm going to read this to you for the sake of time. Psalm 55:22. Psalm 55:22 says this, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you." Can you see? He careth for you. He sustains you. Part of the word sustain means to hold up. It also means to supply. It means to take care of, to keep going, to hold aloft, and to provide for. It says, he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never suffer his best friends to be shook. But it seems like there's a whole lot of his best friends being shook because they're unaware of his covenant with them. Or they're aware of it, but they're not taking advantage of it. I can have money in the bank that a parent or a family member or a friend has given me, but until I go withdraw on it, it does me no good. I can starve to death and have millions in the bank. All I got to do is pull up, withdraw it, and go on with a fat wad of cash. We dining out tonight, girl. Taking the wife out to eat. Listen to this. This is the same verse, Psalm 55:22, in the Passion Translation. It says, so here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord. Isn't that good? Listen to it again. Here's what I've learned through it all. Leave. Put it there and walk away. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. Can you see, while I'm holding on to the cares and anxieties, I can't accept the measureless grace. But if I let go by decision and place the cares and anxieties at his feet, I can embrace and take and enjoy the measureless grace. Amen. Well, before we leave tonight and get and call this this training session complete, I want you to hear this in Isaiah 26:3. We're just introducing this, and we'll be back and let you know when we'll be back again. But we'll be back talking about this some more. This seems like a subject that God wants to camp on for a while and make sure that we have a strong foundation in his will, that we're aware of how to act on it and use it, and that we're confident in the outcome and enjoying it. Amen. Isaiah 26:3. Oh, man. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Man. You will keep him in perfect friendship. You will keep him in perfect ease of soul, whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, brother Duke, that's impossible. I can't do that. No. He said we could. And if he said we could, we can't. We just haven't practiced it. This blood covenant that he's not only given us, but placed us in, is given to us for the express reason to give our mind things to focus on. He said he'll keep us in perfect peace. He'll do the keeping if we'll do the mind staying. Well, how do we do that? You use your mouth on purpose and you use your memory. Right in the middle of what feels like a panic attack. You out loud remind yourself, not caring a whit how you feel, Father, thank you. You've made me your best friend, and I've made you my best friend. Jesus, you've given me your peace, and I have it now. You love me, and I love you. You've given me your Holy Spirit, and he's filled me. He dwells with me forever. I hear your voice, and I know your voice, and you're leading me by the hand, and the and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have decided that I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. You're my best friend and my shepherd, and I always, always, always have more than enough. What am I doing? I'm keeping my mind stayed on him. I'm thinking about him. Amen. You get what I'm saying. You are using what he said to us in blood as good things to focus on. And go ahead. You're not cheating. Use your mouth to do it. No, no, no. I'm not thinking about that. I decide I'm thinking about how much I enjoy him being my best friend and me being his. That's a great place to start. That just kind of sets the tone for all the other keeping my mind stayed on him. It says he'll keep me in perfect peace. He'll do the keeping. I don't have to keep me in perfect peace and, ooh, you're going to keep me in perfect peace. No, I just think about him. Keep my mind stayed on him. Whew. And he keeps me in perfect peace. Amen. Listen, before we go, we have two more scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4. Looks like we're just going to nail it on the time. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Now, that's a little King Jamesy. What does he mean? That you were deciding to not have any anxiety or any worry or care about anything. He says, but in everything, my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He said, and the peace of God, the peace of God, the actual, tangible peace of God. It's real. It passes all understanding. It says, it shall keep. That sounds like keep him in perfect peace, doesn't it? It shall keep your heart. Now notice, this is important. All was leading up to this tonight. Keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus, or through the power of the anointed one Jesus. Not just your heart, but your mind. God's power has been provided to keep our minds. He goes on to say this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. You know what's true? Everything in the blood covenant. At whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. That's also talking about being righteous. Anything about being best friends with God. Whatsoever things are pure, the blood covenant. Whatsoever things are lovely, these are in the blood covenant. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. It's our choice. We decide to do that. So you can take things that, and go back through these training courses. That's exactly what they're for. Go back and get out things that have resonated with you and get out those scriptures. You're like, oh man, I'm so glad I never even heard that, or I heard that, I forgot. That was my scripture. Get them out. Look at them. Thank God for them. Set your mind on them. I know I decide I'm thinking about this. You can decide to think about whatever you want. And you think about it. And you say it out loud. And you think about it. And you say it out loud. What's going to happen? The peace of God is going to keep my mind. And the peace of God, it's going to keep my heart. The peace of God is going to keep your mind and keep your heart. When it says keep, it also means to mount a guard over. And ain't nobody getting through that guard. Amen. Well, lastly, before we go, I want you to hear this scripture. This is Matthew chapter 11. And I want you to hear the words of Jesus himself. Man, hallelujah. As we get ready to go. I'm also going to read it to you from the a different translation. I'm going to read it to you from the King James. And I'm going to read it to you from, what's the name of that translation? Message. The Message translation. And thank God we have it. Thank God we have all these different scriptures that we can, all these different translations that we can read and give us a good picture of all of this that God's saying to us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus speaking. Now, before we get started, close your eyes and say this. This is Jesus speaking to me. Say this. This is my best friend speaking to me. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, another word for labor, toil, and are heavy laden and burdened down. Does that sound like when he said, cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you? He said, and I will give you rest. In fact, according to this translation in the margin of my Bible, the word heavy laden means burdened. Verse 29 says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let go of all that other stuff, he's saying, and join up with me and learn from me. I'll teach you. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now notice this, and you will find rest for your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, man. Oh, man. You shall find rest for your souls. Man, just decide right now with me. I know I thought we were going to read this other verse, another translation, but I don't have a witness to that. Was just excitement, I think. I don't have a witness to do it. We're going to do this instead. Say this with me. This is how we're going to act on it. Say this, Heavenly Father, I decide, I cast all my care, all my worry and concern and stress over on you. I decide I believe that you have it now. And I receive, I take your care. You're taking care of it for me. And I consider it done and handled. Lord Jesus, I have your rest. And I have your rest in my soul. I have your peace. And I'm enjoying it now. Amen. Now just thank him. Just close your eyes with me and just say, thank you, sir. Thank you, best friend. Thank you, God. Thank you, wonderful Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, my elder brother and best friend. Thank you. Thank you for your peace. I'm so glad to have it. And I appreciate it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you excited to have peace? Aren't you relieved to enjoy peace in your mind and in your heart? Amen.